Accession number 13717, Lieutenant Colonel Charles G. Reel 12.
Colonel G, Reel 12. We're talking about your time at Chesterley Street, that was the headquarters, and you said the Colonel went away and you were about to make a move.
Went away for a week. I think slightly Colonel, the Brigadier, was a bit fed up with him, and I hoped he'd get to remove him. And I had a lot to do for the battalion. I had to send somebody to serious punishment. And a real criminal, and I can't remember the details, but he'd been before, and felt important, and had a plan a cab for Lambton Park. That was done quite easily. I had flu, but I wasn't going sick, and got up and ate about half a pound of salt a day, and my bed was about a pint of sweat in my bed every night, but I survived all right and enjoyed the extra responsibility.
You'd have liked to have been the Colonel.
Oh, I would have loved it, yes.
Did you feel there was a good chance of it being promoted?
Yes, and I think there was a good chance of going to senior officer's course, had the war not hotted up, you see. And the next thing that happened was we were told that I had to command an advance guard going to France, the divisional advance guard.
The divisional advance guard?
Divisional advance guard. Or brigade advance guard. I think the whole division went. We had no vehicles except old Ford cars with no doors to them. We taught a number of people how to drive. 2 days before we had to go to France, or 1 day before, we got some 5 army vehicles. We weren't allowed to drive them until we started. And these unkempt drivers who couldn't really drive, hadn't got a car license or anything, were our drivers. And they were furious. They weren't allowed to practice with them. We assembled at, I suppose, the brigade headquarters, not division. I'm not quite certain. But I reported, and I wanted everybody to have, every vehicle to have a route and times typed out. They wouldn't do it. Oh no, they transport officer. I must be divisional transport officer going with you. All will be well. Well, he was lost within about a mile. I saw him again.
And how many were there in this advance party, and where did they come from? Were they all from your battalion or?
My battalion, and we picked up more. There were several battalions. We picked up more en route. As I started off in command, and we picked up some people in Yorkshire, and some of them were senior to me because they'd were regulars, or they got a regular commission and the same rank. They hadn't been in the first war. In any case, one tried to take command and said, "Oh, I've been given this job and I'm doing it."
But was the whole of your battalion part of this advance guard?
No, just a few. And no particular instructions. We lost the transport officer. I knew that we had to go down through Oxford on to Southampton, stopping a night somewhere, I can't remember where. But we were ordered not to exceed 30 miles an hour, and we had to average 35 miles an hour. Well, that's stupid. And we did, in fact, drive, after a bit of confidence, at about 50 to pass another similar unit. I took them round Oxford because I was told, I think rightly, we wouldn't be allowed to go through. But we had a job finding a route round because I'd known two entrances. It was a question of getting across, we did to find one. And we did arrive more or less on time where we were supposed to spend the night. And we got fed, and I spent about 2 hours writing a 3-page report criticizing everything that had happened, taking a cue from T.E. Lawrence, going to try and stop the surrender of the British army up the Tigris. He reported on everything. But everything struck me as incredibly inefficient. And the next day we got to wherever it was, Southampton, where we were going from, and the transport officer arrived.
So what you were criticising, could you just itemise the sort of things? I mean, you've said some of it already, but...
Some of it, well, the whole... Except I wasn't really the senior officer, because a lot of the job had been given to me, the others would have been told that I was doing it. I think just about everything that brigade or division did was inefficient. But the place we got to was in the information. Nothing was right. I can't remember details. But the chaos went on when we got across the channel.
What about the crossing? How did that go?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. But we got to Havre. And we were there a few days. There was a complication about unloading our transport and so on. I put a young officer in charge of it. Was highly, most impressed by its efficiency. One of the senior blokes that reckoned he ought to be in command went and watched him, but he couldn't fault him. So there was a sort of dissatisfaction in the advance guard, with some people thinking they ought to be doing it, and he tried to do it. But these young engineer officers were actually marvellous. I gave them dinner after a bit. But we were there a few days.
Doing what?
Nothing, just waiting for orders to go. The men were in a camp somewhere, and the officers were in a rather nice place, and we fed terribly well in Havre.
Now, what, you were the advance party. What were you meant to be doing?
Well, going up to where the division was, and I don't know what we... It was pointless, I think, the whole thing. The advance party was pointless. Eventually, we had to get a whole lot of drunk officers onto a rolly, a sort of thing without any sides to it, and some of them were drunk, and go up and join the men, and then motor up. And I felt ashamed of that, but I couldn't help it, it was my fault. Officers were unreliable and tight, but the young ones weren't, and I wasn't. And we got to the place, and place where the divisional orderly arrived with orders. And he said, "Where are the other battalions?" I said, "I don't know. Surely they've told you." "No, oh no, it's secret. I wasn't told anything." That sort of inefficiency. I said, "Well, I'm pretty certain that somebody is next door to us. And you try there." And he did feel his way round eventually. But and he was sent out with a whole mess of orders and would be told where the people were. Everything there was the same.
Where was this division? You know, it was where the division was
concentrated.
And do you know what date it was, roughly speaking, that this happened? Was it April?
This is, I left home April the 10th. I know that, because I went back April the 10th. Met my wife again. April the 10th, we started from Chesley Street. We got across the channel somewhere about April the 13th or 14th, something like that. and we were in Havre for a few days before we got instructions to move. And then we were, the rest of the division followed about a week after we got to our camp, not very far away from Arras, fairly near where I'd been in the First War. And
now this was still during the Phoney War, or so-called.
Still Phoney War, yes. And then our troops tried to cook for themselves. They couldn't. The food, they couldn't cope with the rations. And I spent nearly all day being driven round to canteens and things, trying to buy more food for the men to get them started. I tried to get a canteen, get our own shop or something going. I know I was smoking 50 cigarettes a day and about 8 pipes, working hard without achieving much. And men trying to settle in the tents. There were only quarter train of that.
What about the officers? The
officers were still inefficient and very few. We had 5 vehicles, one motorbike which bust, I think. We never had anything we needed.
How did they compare to the battalion, the 9th, in the First War?
It wasn't an army at all. It was like a mob of civilians.
Do you think they shouldn't have been sent across the 11th?
I don't think we ought to be sent across at all. We ought to be sent across as labourers. We went official labourers and under the French, and we got, the French didn't like the war anyway, and they were no interest in us. And then to work on, to dig for aerodromes.
Defences for aerodromes. Or making the aerodromes.
Trying to make aerodromes. But we never did any, because the balloon went up.
Now that would be about May the 10th.
Yes.
So when the first air raid and the blitzkrieg began. What do you remember of that then?
Well, I remember that very quickly all the senior officers except me from the battalion were taken off to find billets or find where to go. And I was to follow with the battalion later in the day if the transport arrived. The official transport was due to come, but it might not come. And
they were moving which way? Towards the line, or?
Oh, yes, up towards the line to defend, to fight against the Germans.
So from being a labouring battalion, you were now seen as a fighting battalion?
Fighting. The French, under the orders of the French. But what I did when all these officers went off, I thought, well, it's doubtful whether the 12th was going to arrive and they're 20 miles up in front or whatever it was. I'd better requisition the vehicles. So I started requisitioning lorries and things, and I had enough to take out a battalion before we moved off. And they were quite happy. They had people with bayonets stopping them going. The trouble was, if we used them, would we be going forward, would we be able to get petrol? I thought we would, but I decided the transport was due to arrive at 4, and I gave it an hour, and it arrived at 5. And so I used the official transport and let all these blokes go. They didn't seem to mind being stopped, and it would have been better if we'd taken them and gone up. We would have been able to get petrol, and the whole battalion would have joined the BEF with this transport, and we'd have been in Dunkirk. We'd been in a mess.
Would the hour have made that much difference, though?
Yes, it would, because we were trekking about, and it saved a lot of trouble, I think.
You mean it wasn't just an hour? I mean, you requisitioned the transport before 4 o'clock, and you could have gone earlier.
Yes, it could have gone earlier, and I did obey orders, gave it an hour and everything. was not wrong then, and we might not have been able to get any petrol when I'd been landed. In any case, we did rejoin our officers, and the next day we had to defend 12 miles of a canal I'd known from the First War, which had no water in it.
Do you know the name of it?
The road. I can't remember the names of Dunbar.
So that was your first action. Had you, yes, you'd not been bombed or come under fire?
Night, and we had to bury the body. Another brigade on the line of the enemy. Except they had, because it had all gone there, they allowing officers to go off one night, to go off and sleep where they liked in fine beds in the village. I found out where they were, so when we had to move at 6 in the morning, I was able to get them roused.
But he hadn't bothered?
No, he hadn't bothered. Things were very, of course, we were really untrained, and the situation was unique.
So although he was a regular, he hadn't got that sort of basic idea of knowing where his officers were?
He was too young.
What about the colonel? How was he responding?
I think he was all right. I wasn't.
Have you remembered his name yet?
At all. I haven't remembered his name yet. I've got him in the book somewhere.
We'll note it down.
We kept getting orders from the French after they'd gone. They'd turned away. And the brigadier said for me, the colonel he couldn't find at that moment, and said, this canal, the brigade, the other brigade in the division, has bolted, gone. It's on our left. Can you, you've got a car, or lend me a car, go and refuse the flank, because there's a great gap.
Go and what, the flank?
Left flank, see, a brigade had gone.
And what were you intended to do?
Turn round our left-hand troops to face left as well as the front. And I think it was all that day. I had some fun. As I was in a car, two frightened French girls picked out nowhere to go, and they were weeping and doing things. And I went to this place where the brigade had gone. There was water in the canal there, and they'd blown the bridge with people on it, got blown up days before the Germans arrived. No Germans in sight, but general panic about them being close. Now it's a refusal flank. Then another thing happened. I had been given 4 guns to take to our different companies, with one officer, one gunner officer with each gun. He was scared still too.
What type of gun?
Any sort of thing. I didn't know, I'd never seen them before.
Proper artillery, though?
Artillery, and a few rounds. And the idea was, I suggested, there was only one place for with these wretched girls in the car, I had to turn up towards the front each time and deposit guns. Was a railway or something like, and a bridge, and if the enemy incoming, you'd have to come through the bridge and point it. The gun was to point at it, and the first tank to blow it to hell in the bridge. That's one I remember. Dumped the others. Every time we turned towards the alleged enemy, the girl screamed. Probably got it done. Then we went back, gave the girls the best advice I could to go to Doulon in that direction, but they wouldn't get far. Then the next care recommendation is, whether it was on that canal or another, I don't know. Message came. One of our senior company commander reported to the brigadier, not in my presence, that he'd seen a German tank. And the brigadier and his staff captain said, I don't believe you. Put it into the office in the morning. Put a note in. There wasn't an office in the morning. But then we were all spread out, not 12 miles quite, but a long way on some bloody canal, when the order came, you're in very great danger where you are. You must rejoin the BEF in Belgium. hadn't any idea how far away it was. It was at least 40 miles, if not 60 or 80. And the colonel, the intelligence officer, and the adjutant, and the company commanders all go to get billets for the VF. Major G will fight a rearguard action following 60 miles. They went off with the transport. And struck me as a pretty absurd order. I think in the First War, one officer went for billets to go with all the officers. Pretty useful.
So this is where that other transport would have come in useful.
Yes.
You'd have had two sets of transport then. That was your point before.
Yeah.
But how did you feel about being given such an order?
I don't know. And the order came, and I hadn't got a clerk, couldn't copy it out in so long. I gave detailed orders for how each company was to go, and then he was to send the order round and get them out from where they were. The alleged enemy attack the other side of the canal and walk up the road. And we walked and we walked and we walked. We had a few bicycles, I don't know, in any use. But
so you still hadn't seen any sign of the Germans when you ordered the pullback?
No.
How did you get the orders round the battalion?
I don't know. I didn't. I couldn't. I just sent a message to the brigade order to read a couple of my company. They did detailed orders of the company from the brigadier. It's absurd. But it did happen again later in the war, and we got things a bit wrong when we were prisoners. But it was ridiculous. And in any case, they got out.
How? They're just willy nilly.
Yeah, well, a nice ordered march. We were marching up through the night and it had stopped, and it was a nice night.
But how did you organise it? That's what I mean.
I think I sent the brigade order somebody to show the people. It wasn't time to copy it out because we were already late when I got the order. We simply had to move out for an emergency. But whether it was that came from the British or the French, I don't know. It must have come from the French because it was wrong. And my part was marching up. I couldn't. And then to fight any tanks if they'd appeared, and they hadn't appeared. But they did appear the next day. Up this road, I began to see signs of Cherisi that had been in the First War, and that slight sinking feeling. Then we met the brigadier with his staff captain, said the situation at the front is all right. Your battalion has stopped the people that were going out to join the BF, and with your transport, they've gone into rest billets, being villas or some village I knew, just about 10 miles away. And we walked a long way. The colonel was in one corps. I left one company, I think we were in Henin, and I walked on to the colonel, leaving a company having a rest. But the port was, the line is straight, and I'm going to rest billets. There was the colonel sitting in an empty village, one corps, with one vehicle and the quartermaster stores stacked, waiting for the transport to come back. The adjutant had taken it into rest billets and he got asleep, I think, instead of coming back to the colonel.